Welcome to fourthstream.com. A really common thought is that science and the Bible just don't gel.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's often taught that science disproves the Bible.
Often.
But however, more and more discoveries have been made which show the Bible does know what it's talking about.
We live in some really amazing times. And as we talk about the relationship between science and the soul, basically, there's a passage in Daniel 12 that I just love. And it's a prophecy. And it says, "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase." And boy, does that describe the time frame that we're living. I read some articles this week in preparation for this, just how quickly information is turning over.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit about entropy in terms of there's been a buildup of a lot of knowledge, but that may sort of slow down.
Well,
all the discoveries.
Yeah, I'm reading a book by an astrophysicist, and he was explaining how so many things are slowing down in the universe. So that will be interesting to see how that impacts knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do we hit a knowledge ceiling at some point?
Uh-huh. So this verse that you read in Daniel, "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth." What does that mean? And knowledge will increase.
It just means that there are a lot of things that will go on the face of the earth. People will go here, people will go there. Dynasties will arise. Kings and queens will be there. They'll disappear. Different civilizations. So everything's going to go back and forth. And as we get to the end of the age, knowledge is going to increase exponentially.
So in Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands." Declaring without words.
Right.
"Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." Again, with no language.
Well, I like the psalm, and we're going to only look at the first part of it today, but it basically is how God speaks, and he speaks with silent words that come through everything that's made. But then he also speaks specifically in the law of the Lord, which is what this is about. And then the Bible makes it pretty clear that in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, through whom he made the world.
"Their words aren't heard, their voices aren't recorded, but their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. God makes a huge dome for the sun, a superdome. The morning sun's a new husband leaping from his honeymoon bed."
Got that picture.
"The day-breaking sun, an athlete racing to the tape. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat."
When I've spent really my fascination with science has really gone up in the last, 25 years, because there have been so many things discovered, you know, and for me, a big part of that is astronomy. And if you look down below, there's some information there that you can kind of look at. But here's a couple of facts about the universe. The Milky Way is 100 light years across. That's 588 miles with 12 zeros. I mean, a light year, we talk about it. We throw around light years.
15 zeros.
Yeah, okay. So lots of zeros. But we throw that stuff around like, oh, it's a light year. It's a light year. By the time you would even get a radio wave within our solar system and have it come back and turn around, it takes something like 4.5 years. So that gives you an idea of just how big space is. And that's why I love astrophysics, not that I understand it, but there are so many things that are being discovered about how the heavens are telling of the glory of God. And you put that together with, I read a book once called The Privileged Planet.
Right.
And he was an Iowa State professor, Guillermo Gonzalez, I think his name was, and he was talking about how finely tuned our solar system is. You know, just right down to the details. And now I'm reading this book by this astrophysicist, and he says the universe is the same way. And so here we are, like in the middle of everything, and there's a good chance. We like to think there are, you know, aliens, Star Trek kind of things out there, but the data is not establishing that at all.
One of those other facts that is kind of interesting and fun, without Jupiter's mass to protect us and the moon to stabilize us, life could not exist on Earth.
Yeah.
So being finely tuned, boy, that is the truth.
Well, that's the macro. Mm-hmm. You know, there are just a lot of big things. And you and I kind of owe it to ourselves to keep track of some of that stuff. And, you know, so much of it is at our fingertips now. We can continue to educate ourselves, not to prove science, not to prove the Bible, but just to understand and to be well educated mm-hmm. on what's happening around us.
Well, and I think if nothing else, it just makes the Bible even more solid. You go, yeah, this is written in there. We used to wonder about this, but now science, it's all coming together. So it's exciting. Instead of wondering, instead of, you know, in the past, I would be like, I know this something out there. Someday science will prove this to be true because I believe the Bible and I believe that science and the Bible will come together. But it's fun to be in the age where it's actually happening.
Absolutely. And, you know, where I've landed on this is that I'm willing to look at arguments about science disproving the Bible and Bible mm-hmm. saying different things than science says. There's a lot of philosophy in science, just like there's a lot of philosophy in theology. So mm-hmm. you have to be really careful and always go back to the Word of God to figure out what the scriptures right. actually say about anything. And that excites me, like you were just talking about. I love the fact that day after day, God is pouring out speech through mm-hmm. everything that he's made. And we get to listen and we get to watch and we get to process it and make it a part of who we are in God.
So like you said, that was the macro. Now we're going to get down to something that's a little smaller.
Yeah, I like to call this five facts from little things. We'll see how many we can do.
Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, you, God, know it completely. You hem me in before and behind, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain."
I've got an eye doctor that I've been going to for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And when you get him talking about the eye, he cranks up because he knows all the stuff about the eye. And each one of our eyes contains 107 million cells, and every one of them is light sensitive. Mm-hmm. I mean, how breathtakingly incredible is that?
It is. Let's see. At 3 months, babies can hear in the womb.
3 months?
3 months.
Like mm-hmm. they can hear what's going on outside the womb?
Mm-hmm.
I used to talk to our kids when they were like inside in your belly.
Absolutely. In fact, they say now that that's a little bit how babies get their accent right from the beginning.
I mean, they learn their accent?
Yes.
So an Italian baby has an Italian accent.
I don't know about that.
Mama Mia, what are we having for dinner, Mama?
Read it. Our heart starts beating at 18 days and pumping blood at 22. So
it's like a itty-bitty heart.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Teensy, weensy. But that means the heart is beating before you even know you're pregnant generally.
Yeah, that's amazing? Fascinating. In fact, you were kind of going through this week and talking about those things. I can't go to the place where, you know, I don't understand why people think what they think about babies and why they have to call them fetuses and all that kind of stuff. And that's a story for a different day. But it really is pretty incredible what's going on inside of a woman's womb as a baby is formed.
Okay, here's another really cool one about just how God knows us. We all know that our fingerprints are all different. Fingerprints in babies begin to form when we are about 10 weeks along after conception.
Yeah, they're like little pads, aren't they, that start?
And, you know, you might get just some of the imprints of what you're touching in the womb. It's just the whole thing is really fascinating. We're so individual, and God knows exactly how he wants us to be made.
Well, you and I are living in the big information time that was promised in Daniel 12 that we read earlier. And you got to ask yourself the question, what challenges does that present?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know what to believe with so much information and so many people interpreting it and telling us what it means? How can we know if something's true or false? And how can we test information? And this is why I love the God story. And this astrophysicist that I've been reading is really interesting because he talks about all of the things that God is pouring out and explaining that are very clear. Mm-hmm. And if we would just look at those things, it takes philosophy out of it. You know, everybody has their opinions. People have religious opinions, philosophical opinions, and scientific opinions. Often, it's not just a matter of science. It's a matter of weeding through the opinions of people who want science to say what they want it to mm-hmm. say. I try to be careful not to do that to other people myself. Hey, enjoy some of the rest of the studies here. We'll be back next week to talk about philosophy and what philosophy brings us. We're talking about having a worldview, because if your worldview is well processed and sifted through, it makes you stronger on your road to find a satisfied mind. Take care, friend.